Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
I guess we could call this series Flashback in February as we take a look back in our rearview mirror and celebrate the amazing guests that God has allowed us on this show over the past 6 years. Today's show was originally show number 39, and it aired on July 15th, 2013 on Faith Talk 1360 out of Phoenix, Arizona. My guest is Byron Yon, and we discuss his book, What Every Man Wishes His Father Had Told Him. On today's episode of God, Sex, and You, we'll discuss, number one, how is or was your relationship with your father? Number two, if you're a father, how is your relationship with your kids today? And number three, we discuss the transparency and the grace and the love and the truth and all that, including the change that is needed in every father and son relationship. Before we dive into the program, just a reminder here that we are doing something that we've never done before, and that is taking our class material and converting it and modifying it so you can join the conversation, and you can do it from the comfort of your own home or tablet or office, wherever you want to be. But I'm going to be teaching out of my new book, The Sex Spiral, Forgiven and Free from Pornography. There's going to be four classes that you can choose from, two on Mondays and two on Wednesdays. Each class is limited to 12 people. And because you're a podcast listener, I want to give you a 50% discount off the class. Simply use the coupon code PODCAST. And look, if you've never even considered getting help or addressing the pornography issue in your life, this is a great way. This is a baby step into face-to-face groups and counseling. This is a great way for online discipleship. And I tell you, with the technology now, it's like, man, we're just sitting in the same class. You're as clear as can be, and you'll be able to ask any question that you want. So you can check that out and a whole lot more on my website at dustindaniels.org. All right, let's dive in. Today's show is titled, What Every Man Wishes His Father Had Told Him. Welcome to the Dustin Daniels Show, a radio program dedicated to saving marriages and protecting children by bridging this gap between pornography and the church pew. A radio broadcast devoted to exposing the lie that's in pornography and instead pursuing the purity that is in Jesus Christ. I am your host, a redeemed sex addict, and now by God's amazing grace, a purity pastor and founder of Seven Places Ministries, it is my job to start this conversation about the beauty that awaits you in God's sexual purity versus the lie that we as the body of Christ have bought into with pornography and sexual sin. And I pray that you continue this conversation with your spouse and with your kids, and yep, even your church and your small group. After all, we do have an epidemic on our hand. 50 to 60% of Christian men are addicted to pornography. 20 to 30% of Christian women admit to being addicted to porn as well. So if you're struggling with the sin of pornography, I want to encourage you to visit sevenplaces.org. Spell out the number seven, S-E-V-E-N, sevenplaces.org. There is help for you right now. There is a group of men, there is a group of pastors and counselors on our online community group. It's absolutely free, secure, and an anonymous place to get plugged into with the group of men who understand this struggle, this sin of lust. And the whole idea is to get you connected to a small group, to get you connected eyeball to eyeball with another man. Once again, sevenplaces.org. If you would like to ask a question on the air, you can do that by calling toll-free 1-855-5-DUSTIN. And you can also email us at talkback@dustindanielsradio.com. Now, if you are tuning in for the very first time, let me give you a disclaimer. This is not a rated R show. Just because we're talking about the realities of life, which include sex and drugs and rock and roll, it doesn't mean it's rated R. This is a family-friendly show, and we focus on the truth, all these things, from a biblical foundation. So, you know, we talk a lot about the role of fathers on this show, and my father simply, he was not there for my brother and I. My parents were divorced when we were young, and my mother raised us, and we were those dreaded weekend warrior kids. Up until, I don't know, I was about 16 years old, I could start driving. That's when I stopped going. I just quit going. I didn't want to make that two-hour drive and basically, in my mind, waste another weekend with my dad. Now, some of you are thinking, wow, Dustin, that's kind of harsh. Well, I loved my dad, but I just didn't like him. My dad was irresponsible. He never grew up. He was always broke, and he always had a beer in one hand, and he always had women on his mind. And I was tired of growing up to go into this stupid bar where everybody knew my dad's name. Now, that was his place of community. That's where he felt safe. That's where he was accepted. In the meantime, my mother was trying to raise two boys on her own. And while we did have men in our life, we never really had a father. We never had someone to teach us the most basic things in life, let alone the really big things like dating and sex, marriage, how to balance a checkbook, or even grill a steak medium rare. We didn't have someone teaching us that. We had to stumble upon this all by ourselves. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not mad at my dad. Believe me, I've worked through all that. But I know there are a lot of you who are listening who have not worked through that pain. So today on the show, we want to encourage you to do just that. My guest today is Pastor Byron Yawn, pastor of Preaching and Vision at Community Bible Church in Nashville, Tennessee, and author of the book titled What Every Man Wishes His Father Had Told Him. Pastor Byron, welcome to the Dustin Daniels Show.
Dustin, my brother, thanks for having me on. And can I say this? When the bumper music on your radio program is rocking Audio Slave, Show Me How to Live, I am home, my friend.
You are the first guest to even point that out.
Dude, I live in Music City, Nash, Vegas.
Wow.
We are Cornell fans here.
Awesome. I've been praying for his salvation for years because he would be one of the best worship leaders ever.
No doubt. We hope that Christian contemporary music doesn't ruin his genre, though. Hey, man, thanks so much for having me on.
You're welcome. I am glad to have you on the air. I really enjoyed your book. Man, it is a no-nonsense, tell it like it is, and tell me how you wrote this, because as I was reading it, it almost felt like this is your thoughts, maybe almost like a journal to share these topics with other men and maybe even your kids. Is that accurate?
That is. It's supposed to be written in such a way that you stare into my soul and you make a connection with my soul. It's a typical struggle. And then as if we're sitting across a table talking about things. And the way I try to write is I try to put words to thoughts that people are thinking but haven't been able to say. And so, you know, I would go kneel by my two sons' beds at night as they were sleeping and pray, and then get up from my prayer and hit the keyboard and pound out these thoughts of things I wanted to say to my sons, and I wanted them to remember. So I write with kind of streams of passionate conscience and purpose. So these things literally just flowed out of my own personal life and my own narrative and the love I have for my sons and the men of my church.
How was the relationship with your own father?
Well, if you're referring to my biological father, I didn't really have one. And
okay.
By the way, Dustin, he lives there in Phoenix.
Oh, really?
Oh yeah, I'll sick you on him when we're done here. But I was adopted when I was young, about the age of two or three. Didn't really know that my biological father wasn't in the picture. And, you know, some rebellion in my teenage years, but my dad, when he came to Christ, turned my world upside down with love and guidance and trust and growth and mentorship, and just poured his life into my life. By the time my father passed away, he was, you know, he had been running beside the bike of my life for so long, and then let me go. I love that man to this day. I miss him dearly. He's a treasure to me because he showed me what unconditional love was. He adopted me, gave me his name. So it was a rich, rich journey. So I've not had a father, then had a father, and now again don't have one on this earth. And so I completely value that relationship and think it's critical.
You write in your book, and this obviously plays a lot from your stepfather that adopted you, that there is no understanding of manhood without first understanding Christ.
Well, you know, as I have a tendency to search out mentors. It's just where I came from and who I am, wisdom from older men.
Sure.
And so I read as well, and as I was reading books on masculinity and biblical masculinity and Christian masculinity, I began to discover that some, not all, but most possibly, had no chapters on Jesus, and not just his example, but his sacrifice on our behalf. And so it just occurred to me that if there is going to be an example about masculinity, it's going to be found in Jesus and his priority on the cross of Jesus Christ. This is why Ephesians 5, when it talks about men loving their wives, goes immediately to the ruggedness of the cross of self-sacrifice. And
sure.
That's where we have to begin, and that's how I coach my own sons, from the gospel of grace out to their responsibilities.
You mentioned there the wisdom from older men. I don't know about you, but that seems to be something seriously lacking in the culture, in the body of Christ, to where, you know, I get a lot of phone calls, Byron, that these guys are 40, 50, 60 years old, and their lives are train wrecks, and they've got nobody to speak truth into their lives.
You know, that is sad on two counts, because there are men over there on the other side that are 50, 60, 70 years old that have tons to offer but don't think they do.
Mm.
And then to connect them with men who are desperate for someone to fill the void in their life and present wisdom is a connection that has to be made in the church. And so what we've done in our context is we created a ministry called Trajectory, where we put a question down between two generations, and these men on this side of the experience, 60, 70 years old, sometimes 80, speak into the lives of late teens, 20s, 30s, 40s, from single to married. And there's this extraordinary exchange that takes place.
Absolutely.
Because it's basically, here's where I hit my life with a hammer. Here's where you can avoid that. And I tell you, brother, the blessing it's been to the men who finally get to share, and the blessing to the men who get to avoid those mistakes, is just a glorious event. So you need that wisdom. As King Rehoboam rejected the wisdom of his elders, and the demise of the kingdom resulted. So,
and what I've learned with my own journey is that when God puts one godly man in your life, and you stay with that man, and over a period of time, he puts another one in your life, and he puts another one. So in my life at this point, I've got an incredible amount, 4 to 5 to 6 men in my life that I can call, and they can call me, and they have the privilege and they can speak into my life of calling me a knucklehead at any time. And when it's an amazing thing when God starts off with one guy, and then over a multitude of years, he surrounds you with an army of godly men. Have you seen that?
Oh, man. And Dustin, you do realize how fortunate and how far into the minority you are, because most men have no idea what you're describing.
Wow.
But, and it's the same in my own life. I pillage and plunder the lives of wise men. And there is no limit for me in reaching into their lives and asking them questions and watching their lives and how they handle things, their victories, successes, and their mistakes and failures, because as it was written in the Bruce Reed, that classic Puritan book, we learn more from our heroes' mistakes than we do their failures.
Absolutely. Yep.
And so it's piling those men and sitting at the feet of experience is such a critical thing. But most men, when you begin to ask how many of you have friends, no one really raises their hand.
Yeah.
And when those that do, when you inquire, they're really kind of buddies, not, you know, intrusive, godly, graceful friends.
Right, right. You know, as I was reading your book, man, you have so many things to tweet out. And this is one of them. Friends don't let friends get away with stupidity. I love that. I love that. And in the context, you're talking about transparency. From your perspective, how are we doing with that as the body of Christ?
Poorly. Everywhere I go speak, and I speak all over the country at men's events, when I get up on the stage and I am an example of transparency, showing my own frailty, not a pastor born with a tie on, but a man saved by grace called into ministry to preach a singular message. Men act like they've never seen that before, like it's uncommon.
Right.
But it somehow gives me the right to say things to them that no other person has ever said, because I'm saying it about myself. I'm ratting myself out. But they love that transparency, and they love me kind of stepping on the air hose of their conscience and pointing out the thing that they've been spending 20 years hiding from.
Right.
Liberates them.
Yeah.
And so they come to me after these events and are kind of confessing, and I'm like, bro, get in line, man. We are all broken. And when they begin to discover that their narrative is the same as the guy they were sitting with in the conference that they were hiding everything from, great things take place. But friends don't let friends get away with their stupidity. And Dustin, I'm a pastor. I've been a pastor for over 20 years. I've got friends and elders in this church that'll put a finger in my face in a heartbeat because they love me. And that's a treasure.
Absolutely. Because what you're explaining there is that your relationships with these men, they do demand the honesty that you talk about in your book, and that you can't attempt to obscure anything. In your words, you write, it demands honesty, and it recognizes the attempts to obscure or maybe even deflect.
Yeah,
is that right?
Men, we are not our own best counselors, and we will always.
Oh my gosh,
we will always diminish our own sin. We will always lean towards our own acceptance. We'll rub the edges off of who we are. But you know, the strange thing is the gospel frees me to confess that what's wrong with me is what's wrong with me. I don't have to hide in shame and find fig leaves of various things to cover myself. And the more transparent and connected to the righteousness of Jesus Christ I am, the freer I am, the more victory I get over in the sin in my own life that, you know, entangle me. And men just don't get this. They white-knuckle their way through life. They cover themselves up with plastic. They live according to cliches. They come to church and they do the best mime you've ever seen during the, you know, the worship and celebration. They
the go best right back. Mime.
You know what I mean? It's the deal.
Wow.
What I want my men to see is that their pastor is a fool for Christ, and he is going to celebrate the gospel of Jesus Christ at about 150 miles an hour throughout the week and on Sunday morning. And they need that freedom, and they need me demonstrating transparency and brokenness.
Today on the show, we have Pastor Byron Yon, author of the book "What Every Man Wishes His Father Had Told Him." We're talking about accountability, and we're talking about manhood, and obviously when we look at manhood, we look at the person of Jesus, and Jesus being all of grace and all of truth at the same time. And that what I see, Byron, is that we've got either a lot of truth on one side, or we go to the other side and we got a lot of grace.
Only in a fallen world are grace and truth in opposition to one another. In the kingdom of Christ and in the reality of redemption. Grace and truth are the same side of the, or different sides of the same reality. And I think the best place to point this out is the cross of Jesus Christ, right?
Absolutely.
The cross is at one and the same time the worst disclosure of mankind that mankind has ever seen. My brother, you have a man with a meat cleaver chopping up a man in the streets of London as people casually stroll by, and he takes the time to shoot a video. Is there any more question about our depravity?
Right.
The cross declares that. I mean, we were that wicked, right? That's truth. God put his son to death to save us from our fallenness. But at the same time, he turned it around, and there is grace. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that he hunted down his enemies and made them friends. So at the core of our faith is the wedding of grace and truth. And it's the truth that leads us to grace. It's the truth that leads us to change. It's the truth that leads us to freedom. But we don't want the truth spoken in. And it's not my truth, Dustin. It's God's truth. So
right.
It's his authority. And it's a gracious thing. It's, you know, it's the prophet Nathan going to David saying, "You are the man," and David's gracious repentance coming as a result of that, and all the grace that is shown from that. So as we are relating to one another and having friendships, we so fear man, and we so desire man's approval that we won't even put friendships at risk by being friends, by telling our friends the truth. We just give them passes and let them limp along in their life, where one little word of truth, which might be painful, will be the most grace that person has ever received. And I don't know if it's been this way in your life, Dustin, but in my life, when my brothers have come along and been used of God to put me on my knees by telling me the truth, my blind spots, I have wept, rejoiced, been restored,
Amen.
And lived in victory.
Amen.
So don't fear it. Preach it.
Absolutely. And really what you're talking about is the love of Jesus. And you know, the world has this definition of love that is not biblical. It's love is a feeling. You know, it could be a bad pizza. Or it could not. And I love what you say in your book, that love asks deeper questions than you're going to be comfortable with. And in the context of accountability, in the context of sexual sin and pornography, I am amazed at how many people think they're in an accountability group and they're not asking two questions, Byron. They're not asking these questions. Number one, when's the last time that you committed the sin of looking at pornography? And when's the last time you committed the sin of masturbation?
Right, right. That's what we say around here. When, you know, when a guy comes up and wants to get into some sort of accountability relationship, we just say, first thing you ask this young adult, young college man, businessman, how many times have you masturbated in the last month? And they run away with their head on fire. But, you know, it's like,
you have
bro,
to ask that question.
Yeah, bro, we know. Get in line. But that people want to live in the veneer of their life and hide from those kind of things. And we're offering them the freedom. When I just spoke down at a church in Huntsville, Alabama, which was rated like the number one religious city and pornography viewer in the country, which is like, I don't think there's a Hallmark card for that.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough one to find.
Well, I stood up in front of the people, the men there, and said, hey, don't even try to tell me you don't struggle with pornography, because we know it's true. It's not if you're going to be tempted, it is that you are constantly tempted. And even if you don't have a porn addiction, but your sexual relationship with your wife suffers from strife, same root, different manifestation, so let's talk. And, bro, people were weeping. Men were coming up to me confessing the way that they had brutally treated their wives because they were projecting images and expectations. So it's not it's not just the image on the computer. It's the reel of porn playing in our head as men that force us to view our wives and diminish our wives in our own perspective. So we know it's there. So let's deal with it by grace and truth.
You know, one of the things that I noticed a couple of weeks ago, Byron, is I spoke at a men's retreat. And did one of the breakout sessions, and last time I did a breakout session at this particular retreat, we had two guys show up out of, you know, 400 men. This time, the place was packed. We probably had, I don't know, 70, 80 guys. It was someone said the largest breakout session. And it certainly wasn't because I was there teaching it. It was there because I felt these men going, you know what? I really want to learn about that. I need to know. So I think that even though we as pastors, most of us don't want to talk about this issue from the pulpit, thank God you are, but the temperature of the body of Christ is changing so much that hopefully it will force people to make that choice to start discussing this from the pulpit.
Preach it, brother. Preach.
Pastor Byron Yawn, thank you so much for joining us. Your book is titled What Every Man Wishes His Father Had Told Him. Hey guys, this is a listener-supported broadcast. You can visit sevenplaces.org and check us out. You can get immediate help. There's an online community. You can email us your questions, short video blogs there. You can email us at talkback@dustindanielsradio.com. And if you want to yell at us, you can do that too. 1-855-5-DUSTIN. If you want to listen to some shows via podcast or iTunes, you can do that. DustinDanielsRadio.com. Follow me on Twitter at Purity Pastor. I will be tweeting more of Pastor Byron's sayings here in the very, very near future. And listen, guys, the kingdom of God isn't just a lot of talk. It's living in God's power. Have a great week. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Dustin Daniels Show. We're a listener-supported ministry. To make a donation for our resources that were mentioned on today's program, visit sevenplaces.org. That's S-E-V-E-N places.org. The Dustin Daniels Show is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with regard to the subject matter covered. This information is given with the understanding that neither the host nor the station is engaged in rendering professional counseling advice that pertains to your personal situation. If you need further help, we encourage you to seek the services of a Christ-based counseling professional.